Welcome to this week's CMS Personalized Learning Teacher Voice Podcast, episode 34. My name is Kelly McManus. I'm a 7th grade math teacher at Martin Luther King Jr. Middle School, and today we're going to talk about personalizing active learning strategies. First, I want to eliminate any unnecessary teacher jargon. Active learning strategies are exactly what you think they are. They are allowing students to move around the classroom to solve a problem or learn some more information. Elementary teachers are usually much better with this because they're used to being comfortable in this controlled chaos. They're used to having students transition from desks to carpets to reading circles, but secondary teachers, often including myself, might be thinking, I'll never let my kids do that, or my kids couldn't handle that. I'm with you, I understand, but I encourage you to try it out. A bite-sized active learning strategy, especially for the ultra-controlling teacher, comes in the form of a solution station. Designate a spot in your room where you'll post the answers for an assignment. Yes, you're going to give your students all of the answers as they're working. After they finish a problem or answer a question, they'll check their answers at the solution station. If they get it correct, they can celebrate, move on. If they did not, they know immediately, correct the work, and check over any misconceptions before they move on. Set up a few rules for the solution station. Go after every problem. Don't bring a pencil, or a few I use in my classroom. You don't want students to simply copy all of the answers off the solution station and return back to their seats. These are a way to constantly engage students. They walk across the classroom to a solution station, and that can serve as a brain break for students, keeping them more focused once they're back in their seats. Now, if you're already a solution station expert, let's talk about personalizing them. Even if you are not differentiating a specific assignment, you can personalize the solution station. We've already discussed having a station where students can check their answers, determine if it was correct or not, but you can modify this for various learners. STEM students will benefit from an example station. An example station might have a very similar problem to the one the student's working on, entirely worked out so the student can see the thought process and the answer, but again, for a different problem. The student then carries all of this information with them back to their seat, a truly engaging process. Once they're at their seats, they can compare the example problem to the one they're working on. Other students will benefit from a support station. A support station provides a powerful hint for students. For example, a student might be solving a math problem set and find the clue is the distributive property. A student working through science or social studies assignments might go to the support station and find a page number in their textbook where they can read more about their current topic. The support station does not directly give the answer, but gives students another strategy to find it. As a teacher, you might designate certain pathways for students or different stations that they may or may not access. You could say student A can only go to the solution station, but students B and C can go to all of them. A non-negotiable is that every student should have access to some form of station. This creates the active, engaging process, which helps students learn material. Since implementing them consistently throughout the year, I've noticed a certain cadence within my students' work that has become particularly impactful when they take their EOGs or any other big assessments. My second big picture idea for implementing these active personalized learning strategies comes in the form of a scavenger hunt, often called a search and rescue. I'll get into the details of personalizing these in a minute, but if you aren't familiar with the strategy in general, I'll do my best to lay it out for you. The teacher will post problems all over the room. Students solve the problem on their own paper. Once they have the answer to the problem, they'll move on to the next one. It seems easy enough. The prep work is a little tricky at the beginning, but once you get comfortable with it, it becomes much easier. Whenever I create a scavenger hunt, I want my students to be able to check and make sure that the problems are correct, and I do that by creating a code. Every problem has a letter attached to it, and if the problems are done in the correct order, they'll crack my code. For example, if my code is CATS, C-A-T-S, then the students would start at problem letter C, they'll solve it, and their answer will be at the top of card letter A. Card letter A also has a problem that the students will solve, And the answer to that question is on card letter T, and so on and so forth. Once they've spelled out C-A-T-S, they've realized they're back at the beginning. They've realized they've completed the scavenger hunt. Now that the basics of the scavenger hunt are over, let's get to personalizing them. You can predetermine the starting points of different students in order to scaffold the problems. You could intentionally pair students and assign them to a certain starting point. My favorite personalizing strategy requires multiple scavenger hunts. This way, I can scaffold concepts. Student might start on one that's just simplifying expressions, and then when they're done, they can do one that requires solving equations. Another student may have started on the solving equations scavenger hunt and proceeds to a more rigorous version. The teacher's job is to create pathways, set strong expectations, and support the students to work through their pathway throughout the scavenger hunt. Few examples of supporting the student include giving them the code at the beginning of the scavenger hunt so they know what answers they should be getting. Another support could be to make the scavenger hunt multiple choices. You would do this by just posting multiple options on each individual card. My last and one of my favorite active learning strategies is a maze. I took this idea from a worksheet where students had to trace their path through a maze. They would start on a problem, then the adjacent squares, there would be 2 to 3, are possible answers. Once they pick an answer, the adjacent square is their next problem. They will continue solving the problems until they've made it to the end of the maze. If you could imagine this very popular worksheet style, work with me as I bring it to life. Write each problem on an individual sheet of paper, laminate it, and tape it to the floor. Students will have a blast working through and walking over all these problems. But now again, let's personalize it. My personalizing step here is goals. Each student should have a different type of goal. Do you want them to be working through it quickly and fluently? Then set a speed goal. Do you want their work to be 100% accurate? If so, nominate a student or yourself to be a referee to make sure the students work through the maze correctly. The students' goals do not all need to be the same, but all students can be extraordinarily engaged in this process if they can set their own goals. Thank you for listening to CMS Teacher Voice this week, and we look forward to learning more with you next week.